The topic today is going to be Hashavas Aveda. So you'll take a look at all those different things that you found over the last couple of years, and we'll discuss them. We'll see what you did with them, and we'll talk it through a Pialoch Lamaisa. The inyan of Hashavas Aveda, firstly, in the Torah, it's a mitzvah saseh, and it's a mitzvah loisasa. The Torah tells us, loisichel esalem, hoshif teshivim, we have a loises and we have an aseh. The Chizkuni brings down that Hashavas Aveda is such an important thing that if you take a look in Pashas Kiseitse, by the inyan of going to Muhammad, so even after the first pasuk in Kiseitse starts off about going to Muhammad, then it's the second, it's mafsik. To then the pasuk digresses to the topic of Ben Soiri Meirer and so on and so forth. You look at Rashi, you see the connection. Then the pasuk goes and tells us about Hashavas Aveda. So the Chizkuni asks, what's the connection to say about Hashavas Aveda at that time? So he says the Torah is telling us something which is a very important yesod, and that is that Hashavas Aveda is such an important mitzvah that even when a person is lying between Kishrei HaMochama and there are sakonas involved, he still has to remember about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Now, Hashavas Aveda takes on many forms. It's not only that you have a chiv of Hashavas Aveda, where if you find an item that belongs to somebody, you have to return the Aveda. But Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Bava Metzia, is also when you see a person is about to lose money, you are mechuyev to replace his money to him. The case that's brought down in Masechtas Bava Metzia is that if you see there is a water and the water is approaching a person's property, it's going to be shoytef his property. So you mechuyev to go and build a fence around his property in order to save his property. So what I'm trying to say is that Hashavas Aveda has very extended ramifications. It's not just that you have a chiv Hashavas Aveda to return an Aveda which you find of a person, but it's more than that, and that is that you have a chiv to be matzal a person's money that he shouldn't lose money. So we have to, when we think about Hashavas Aveda, we have to think about it on a much more serious level. I'll give you an example. For example, let's say you're the last person out of an office, and your balabas is a yid, and you see the lights are on. So, bepashtis, if you're a nice person, you close the lights before you leave the office. But after what we just discussed, it could be that the closing of the lights is not just a thing to do if you're a nice person, but rather it could be as a chiv. Okay, now, of course, there are certain halachas which we'll discuss soon. That is, number one, that the amount that you're returning to the person has to be at least a shava pruta, so the amount of it has to be kidei hashava, so the amount that he's going to save overnight is going to be a shava pruta. That's number one. Secondly, another important halacha which there would be, that is that the person himself would shut the light, but you could get yourself into situations with to be matzel another person's money is an actual chiv deraisa. The Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Truvas Negus Moshe Simon Chav Beis and Chash Mishpat Chelik Beis, he discusses that there was in Queens a certain city, he writes, where there were a million Yidden living there, and the city was built up, and somebody wanted to build certain housing in the area where the housing would attract certain types of people that would greatly bring down the value of the area and would greatly hurt the whole atmosphere of the area. And Rav Moshe writes that it's possible that mitzad Hashavas Aveda, you have a chiyuv to go to do whatever you could to stop this development from happening on behalf of the tzibur. Of course, it was very severe there. If you take a look, what actually was going to happen to the tzibur was severe. But the point I'm trying to tell you is that Hashavas Aveda is not just a basic chiv of, like we understand, of picking something up and returning it to the person, but it's more than that, and that is to be matzel a person's money. The emes is
that chiv to laugh and have to walk around and make sure all the lights are off?
Well, if each light, I would say differently, if each light individually is not a shava pruta, then it could be not. But if you're the last one out of a shul, and there's a private owner to the shul who's usually makbid on shutting the lights, besides the fact that it's the appropriate thing to do, but you would end up, if the amount that he'll save is a chiv of kidei hashava, and he himself is makbid on it, 100% is a machiv mitzad hashava saveda to actually shut the lights. I've seen this, a lot of poets have written so. Now I want to tell tell you, there's a story that's brought down in the Yishalmi in Bava Metzia. The Yishalmi in Bava Metzia says the following story. There was a Amora by the name of Reb Shmuel Bar Soistrai. And there's a very famous story, which I'm sure you all heard in Yeshiva, and the Yishalmi says over the story. The story was that there was a queen, and the queen lost a very expensive diamond, her necklace, whatever a tachshit it says. And after she lost her necklace, so she was afraid somebody was going to take this very expensive piece of jewelry, take it and put it away for himself. So she sent a decree to the whole city, and the decree said as follows. The decree said the queen's necklace was lost. Whoever finds it should come immediately and return it to the queen, and he will get a large reward. However, she continues, and she says as follows. If you find it and you don't return it, by 30 days, your sentence will be death. That's what she said. She's going to give a death sentence to anyone that finds it and holds on to it and does not return it for 30 days. Reb Shmuel Bar Soistrai, his mazel, he actually found this piece of jewelry, and he waits 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, and he keeps it by himself. He does not return it. And on the 31st day, he takes the piece of jewelry, he goes to the queen, he says, here's your piece of jewelry, I found it, I would like to return it to you. So she looks at him and she says, what's your problem? Till now, you were planning to return it anyways. Had you come till now, you would have gotten a reward. Now you're not getting a reward, and you put your life into a sakana. What did you do? So Rav Shmuel answered as follows. He said that I would like you to know that us Yidden, we return an Aveda, and when we return an Aveda, we do so because the Rebbeinu Shalom told us to do so, not because we're going to get a reward. And therefore, I wanted to point out to you, and he was trying to make a Kiddush Hashem, that I don't return an Aveda for money. If I return an Aveda, I do so absolutely for free. And the queen was very impressed, and she let him go. Now, the emesis, I added that he did so for Kiddush Hashem, because we have a halacha that avedas akim, you're not mechuyev to return. When you find an aveda that belongs to a goy, you don't return it. Not only you're not mechuyev to return it, the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Gimel tells us that it's also to return it. So if you find something that belongs to a goy, you're not allowed to return it. Now, what's the reason? The pasuk says, l'chol aveda sachicha. If you find an aveda that belongs to your brother, not an aveda that belongs to somebody else. Now, what is the reason why you're only allowed to return an aveda to a goy, and you cannot return an aveda to a only allowed to return an aveda to a yid? I'm sorry, and you can't return an aveda to a goy. So Rashi says one pshat. The Rambam says another pshat. Rashi says the reason why you only return an aveda to a goy, to a yid, is because if you return an aveda to a goy, you're showing that when you return an aveda to a yid for free, you did not do anything special for the yid. Which means the Torah told you a special mitzvah. And the special mitzvah is that if a yid went and lost something, you should go and return it to this yid. Now, if you return it for anybody, so what are you doing very impressive for the yid? Nothing. You're not doing anything more special for the yid than you're doing for the goy. So therefore, Rashi says, in order to show chashivas, that when you're returning to something to a yid, it's something extra special, zokt Rashi, that's the reason why the Torah asked of returning the aveda of a goy. That's the pshat of Rashi. The Rambam writes that the reason is because yimachzik yidei oivei aveira. The goyim yidei oivei aveira. There's a halacha that you're not supposed to be mechazik yidei oivei aveira. You're doing a service for them for free. Don't do it for them. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Beragoyle brings down what's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam. So the Beragoyle brings down that let's say you want to return the aveda to a goy that lives in Eretz Yisrael. That's the like a ger toishev that's mekayim the shev mitzvah neinoyach. According to the Rambam, that the reason is yamachzik yedei ve'aveira, he's not a yedei ve'aveira. He keeps the basic mitzvahs a goy has to keep. According to Rashi, that the reason is that you have to show a special ahava and a special privilege that you're part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore you're returning it dafka tayid and not to a goy. So according to Rashi, you cannot return it to any guy, even to a ger toishav. However, in Shulchan Aruch it says that if you're concerned for a chil Hashem, then you return it even to a guy. And not only if you're concerned for a chil Hashem, you return it to a guy. If you intend to make a kiddush Hashem, like this case of Rav Shulba Soistrai, then you're allowed to return the aveda even to a guy. Now, this halacha of the fact that you don't return an aveda that belongs to a guy has extended ramifications even when it becomes of returning an aveda to a yid. Why? Because we know in the Masechtas Bava Metzia it says as follows. Let's say, what's that?
What is not a kiddush Hashem to return to the
It says if you intend to do a kiddush Hashem, it could be that the, what's that?
They don't know if it's a yid.
Or it could be that there are certain. You have to really, you know, see the situation each time. I mean, if you're a prestigious person and you're returning it to a person, it's going to be noteworthy. You know that. Wow, look what the yid did for me. Certain people don't have a karas hatoyv. You have to really, you know, shout up each situation differently. Also, you're not mechuyev to do it when it's a chil Hashem. You're mechuyev to do it when a kiddush Hashem. You're allowed to do it. But now,
What about blank check?
Yeah. We're going to speak. If we get around to it today, one of the topics which I wanted to discuss.
Don't tell me
you could have used it. No, there's a whole discussion about matzah shtoros. That's a major discussion. When you find a shtar, who do you return it to? The malva, the loiva, if you found all kind of different documents that you find, who do you actually return it to? So we'll get to it. But we'll see how far we get in this shir. Now, the what is the difference of these halachas that usually do not have to return an aveda to a goy? There's a murdering in afkamina lemaisa. What is an afkamina lemaisa? Let's say you find an aveda of a yid, but you find the aveda in the ear sherubay akim in a city which most of the people that live in that city are goyim. So now you don't have to return this aveda even to a yid. Why is that? That if you find a aveda in the ear sherubay akim and it belongs to a yid and it has a simen, you still don't have to go and return it even to a yid. And the answer is because since it's an ir sheruba yakim, and an ir sheruba yakim, you don't have to return an aveda if you find of a goy. So the yid that loses an aveda in that city is miyayish, because he says either the goy will find it, that's, then forget about it, right? Finders keepers, losers weepers, right? But if the yid finds it, he won't return it anyways. Why won't he return it anyways? Because he's going to return it to, he'll think it belongs to a goy. So he's not going to return it in the first place. Now, the is a halacha which is brought down, and that is that the Ramah discusses. Let's say you find a sefer. It's a Ramah simulation on test Siv Gimel. Let's say you find a sefer in the ear sherubay akim. So the Ramah says, then you should return it. Why should you return it? What's the reason? Because the guy, even if he finds a sefer, is probably going to go and turn it over to a yid. I remember a whole bunch of years ago we were in Tarvadas and a guy walked in with a pair of tefillin. He wanted to sell a pair of tefillin. So naturally, what was his intentions? Probably either he picked it up or he found it or he stole it. So, and by the way, when a guy steals Dvarim Shepekdusha, there's an issue. You can't always just go and buy it off him for any price, because you'll only give him the incentive to steal it all over again. So there was one very smart curly young man, I remember this like today, the guy walked into the yeshiva, and he says, I have a pair of tefillin to sell. And he says, oh really, let me see. He didn't say tefillin, he says, let me see what you have to sell. Anyways, he opens up the, says, let me examine what you're selling to me. I want to see what am I purchasing. He opens it up, and he takes it out, and he says, what do you mean, this is only half a set. Where's the other half of the set? He looks at him. The guy got all nervous there, you know, like he has only a half a pair of tefillin. And he says, all right, listen, I'll give you $5 for it. So the guy took $5 and he left, and that was about it. There's a guy in yeshiva that did it. He's still in yeshiva today, this person. But the point is, when a guy comes with a sefer, the guy is probably not going to pick up the sefer. If he picks it up, he'll turn it over to a yid. So therefore, the Ramah is machadish that even in this place where you're not mechuyev to give something back to a guy, still, afal pikein, if it's something which klal belongs to yid and it's a dovah shebekdusha, so then it could be it's not miyayish and you should return it. It's brought down afal pikein that if you know that it belongs to a Yid, what should you do? Then you should return it Lefnim Mishir Sadin, the Ramah brings down. Lefnim Mishir Sadin, if you know who it belongs to, you should return it regardless. Now, you probably everybody hears the words Lefnim Mishir Sadin, they think that means that, you know, if you really want to. The Shach says that there are certain cases where you kaifa, you force a person to do Lefnim Mishir Sadin. Lamashal, if a rich man finds something that belongs to a poor person, then for sure he has to return it to two regular people. The shaila that's difficult in the Paiskim is when it's the opposite way. When you have a poor man that finds something that belongs to a rich person, so Meikadin is really allowed to keep it, and now you're asking him to return it Lefnim Mishiras Adin, who says he should do Lefnim Mishiras Adin? Maybe just the opposite. Maybe Lefnim Mishiras Adin, the poor man should keep it. That's where it gets a little bit complicated. But in general, Lefnim Mishiras Adin is something that you have to do. The Smak counts as one of the mitzvahs esses, and we know that the Chom Beis HaMikdash happened because the Gemara tells us Shehemidi Divreim Al Din Torah, that they went and they did exactly the letter of the law. So Lefnim Shiras Adin, when you hear those words, it's not a license that you can ignore it. Punkt vaket. Shiras Adin is something that you usually have to do. Now, Reb Moshe writes in a tshuva that a tinik shenishba, a child that even though a Yisrael that's a mumur, if he's a mumur for either most of the mitzvahs, or mumur l'shavas, or if it's lahachis, or whatever the case is, usually you don't have to return it, but if he's a tinik shenishba, you definitely should go and return it. Now, the question is, how about if you live in an apartment building, and the apartment building is in a city that's for sure Rubai Akim. The city is definitely Rubai Akim. But you find something in front of your apartment building. Now your apartment building is already Rubai Yisrael. So do you go after the ear, or do you sort of consider like there's an ear betoicha ear? So there's a nice kuntris written on the Shavas Aveda from Reb Moshe Zachorin Lebracha, and Reb Moshe says that if you find it in the actual confines of the apartment building there, then you should do a Hashava, because Zilbas HaTaima, in your area, it's a Mokim Sherubi Yisrael, and 100% you should actually return it. So Lamashli writes, like, in front of Yeshiva, if you find something. So if you find it on the sidewalk, so then in a Hanami, you don't have to return it, because it's an Ir Sherubi Akim. But if you find it on more in the area where, once you walk into the courtyard of the Yeshiva, and a Hanami, in that kind of case, you would have a Chiyav Hashava. Now, besides the Petur of not returning an Aveda to a Goy, or an ear Sherubayakim, I'll just mention another couple of peturim where you do not have to do Hashavas Aveda, and that is a Zokein Ve'ein Lefi Chavoydai. If you're an old man with a flowing white beard and you find a bicycle, and they'll see you riding up Avenue J with a bicycle to return it, it will not really look that appropriate. So that kind of person is not mechuyev to return it, because he's a Zokein Ve'einoi Lefi Chavoydai. Now I'm going to ask you, every time you're going to see something, and you're not really going to be in the mood of returning it, so the first thing you're going to say, it's not so becovedic for me to return it. So how do you govern the concept of Ein Lefi Chavoydai? So Chazal, with a tremendous chokhmah, went, and they gave us a beautiful yesoid. And that yesoid is that the way you figure out if it's Lefi Chavoydai or not, let's say it was your own Aveda. What would you have done if it was your Aveda? You found your own item. Would you go and take it home? It's your own child's bike. Would you go and take that bike and wheel it home or not? If you would wheel it home, then when it comes to the other person, do the same. And if you would not wheel it home, then in that kind of case, you don't have to return it. In Simon Reish Samachimel, it says that even a Zokim Shein Lefi Chvoidoi should return Lefnim Mishir Sadin, except when there's Bezoin HaTorah. If somebody has a Chiv to watch and cover, then he's not allowed to go and return it. Now, there are a few more cases of Avedas that are exempt from a Shavas Aveda. The next case is, if you have a person which is Matzel Mizutoi Shalyam. Zutoi Shalyam means a big wave used to come, and you had a watch or something that was lying there next to the water, and the wave would pull it back into the ocean, and you know for sure it's Ovid Mikola Oilam. So there are certain items that the person absolutely gave up that he's never going to get back. A person's house is on fire, and as the person's house is on fire, what happens is that a person runs in and grabs something out of the house, but it was Ovid Mikola Oilam, was going to get burned within the second. So there, in that type of type of situation, if you have something which the person has no chance of ever getting back, avada, there is no chiyuv of hashavas aveda. Another case which is brought down is an aveda midas. If a person goes and puts something away and he intentionally loses it, he doesn't want to reclaim it, he knows it's lost, so then 100% you do not have a chiyuv of hashava. This is even if there is a simon. Now, the emes is that in one of I was davening one time in a certain shul. This I was a couple of years ago on a yontif. I was out of town, and I was in a certain I davened in a kail in a certain town, and there was a miller davening. I left for a few minutes. And there was a restroom there, and I took my talus off, and I put my talus down on the table. But I noticed as I put my talus on that table that three other people did the same thing. So there was one talus here, there was one next to it. There were four talasim spread out on the table. I went in for a couple of, you know, a minute later I walk out, and naturally I see that my talus is not there anymore, and a talus that looks very similar to my talus, what happens? That talus is still there on the table. And there was really no way of telling the difference between my talus and that talus. Now here I'm Miller Davening, and Miller Davening...
How do you know?
Huh? Because I know exactly... I made note of where I left my talus. So I was quite... I knew already which talus was mine. So what do? The question is very simple. The question is, can I go at this point and take the other person's talus and use it as mine? He's never going to know. He's never going to return it. Can I go and take the other person's talus and use it as mine? I'll go with a different question. Let's say you're Friday night, you go to shul, and as you're leaving shul Friday night, you're the last one out, and it's pouring rain, and you go to take your coat, and naturally, somebody left your coat. Same size, the same label, same name. It's not yours because there was a certain rip in the pocket, you know, on one side that you knew that it was yours. You had certain simonim in your Talmud Chacham, you have Tviyas Ayin, and you knew which was your coat, and this is clearly not your coat. Can you, in this type of situation, just say, okay, I'll take the other person's coat? In Shulchan Aruch, in Chayshim Mishpat, in Simon Kuf Lamed Vav, there's a Kesef HaKadoshim, which was a sefer written by the B'Chotcher Rav. And he writes over there on the bottom, so the B'chutcher Ruv writes as follows. He writes that he had a shayla, somebody on an Erev Shabbos, they went to the mikveh, and somebody went and changed shoes with them. And they didn't have another pair of shoes for Shabbos. I mean, he clears that type of shayla. And he says it's not pashut at all. And the pashtus is that when somebody else leaves a certain item, let's analyze the shayla. What happened over here? This other person lost something. If this other person went and he lost something, now you want to go, and what do you want to do? You want to take the item that this person left there. Now, let's think about it. If this person doesn't know that he lost it, so it's yish loy midas. Yish loy midas we paskin, loy have a yish. So it still belongs to another person. Now, echanami, your item was taken away. That I agree with you 100%. What?
Maybe it's a mashkin.
Okay. You're not allowed to use a mashkin. You can hold a mashkin. You can't use a mashkin.
Can I take it
home? It's going to be like, what are you doing over here?
Can I take
it
home?
Huh? And Hanami, if you want to go and put up a sign that I left my raincoat here and you can come and take your raincoat from me whenever you want, it's a gewaltige mitzvah, Shavas Aveda. But what gives you a right? I mean, it's not so posh that you'll have to remove the raincoat from there because he might come back to there. Okay?
Huh?
What are you supposed to do? Here's what I want to get to. The pashtis is, what's it? Slow. The pashtis is when you go through the poiskim, the Shechon Aruch and the Kesavak. Kodeshim, I'm David. The pashtus is you can't use it, and you have to leave. You have to leave the coat there and walk home without a coat. That's the pashtus. What you have to do, the pashtus, and the when I had my situation with the talis, I literally went through the shul from person to person, and I had one time by davening where somebody asked me for a pen. I put the pen back in my pocket, and I accidentally made a little line on my talis, and I finally found my talis with that line. But you, the pashtus, can't keep it because think about it. These are halachas and hilchos shavas aveda.
You can take something after Yish. What gives you a right to keep the other person's chayfet? There is one heter. There's one heter which is brought down in the Orach HaShulchan, and the Orach HaShulchan writes a chiddush. Even though the Paiskim mitzvahs with this, the Orach HaShulchan writes a chiddush, and that chiddush is, you hear this, I'll tell you the chiddush of the Orach HaShulchan. The chiddush is that if you leave something for such a long, I'm sorry, the chiddush is that there are certain items that people are not makbid on. For example, galashes. He says they used to leave galashes in the shul, and they all were pretty much the same. I guess there were not that many galashes companies in those times. And then he says, in Yishgafelach, people used to, they were interchangeable, didn't bother anybody. So he said, the people are bedafka, not makbid. But an item like a coat or something which a person is makbid on, you should not take. Huh? Umbrellas. He writes, the Shiur Mitzvayorim Balocha from Rev Brown writes this Orach HaShulchan, he says umbrellas are the same thing. That's what he writes, that umbrellas are similar to galashes of the Orach HaShulchan. It's a heta. Listen, if you can take an item, but I want to talk about umbrellas soon, because umbrellas are not so simple at all. I want to go through, umbrellas, it depends how you found them. I'm going to go into it in a few seconds.
The sign off by the courtroom was, if someone takes a coat accidentally because it's cold outside, you're allowed to switch and return.
So I wanted to go into that next. Wait, slow down. This is the next thing I wanted to discuss, and it sounds like a funny thing. It's not so terribly funny. I'm going to get to it in a second. Reb Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe, in Chelik Beis Siman Mem Hei, all right, that many organizations like yeshivas have realized that the Hashavas Aveda problems have become something that they cannot deal with. The Hashavas Avedas have become way out of hand in order to be able to deal with an Hashavas Aveda issue. So Rav Moshe Zacharin Levocha writes that a organization has a right to make their own lost and found policy. Rav Moshe says you can say as follows. You can say that anyone that comes into this shul is coming into this shul based on the tnoyim that I am giving him to come in, based upon those tnoyim. So you see certain shuls, right, that whoever comes in here, if you lost something, within the next 30 days, if you come to claim it, good. If not, it's going to go into the kupa of tzedakah. It's going to go into here. It's going to go in, wherever it is. But Ramosh, the problem is, Ramosh said a murder gechidish here. I'll tell you why. That I can tell you if you want to come into my property, you have to go along with my rules. That's not such a big chiddush. The problem is, let's say a person comes in and he doesn't read the sign. All right, the sign is not as big as that sign. They are not speaking by davening. It's a smaller sign that they put somewhere. And what happens is, if that happens, so then a person loses the aveda. He did not consent to this form, and if he didn't consent, and now you go and you find his item, al pi alocha, technically speaking, you should return it to him. So Rav Moshe comes up with a chiddush, and Rav Moshe says that you can go basa roiv, because roiv people that are here, they actually go and they read the sign. The few people that don't is a miyat, and you can go that, you can assume that the aveda that was found from the roiv. So Enachanami, if a shul goes and says, if you're coming into this place, it's al manas, that if you switch your coat, the person's allowed to keep it 100%. It's an effective tonight, no question about it. It goes so far that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach once had, I don't want to call it a dentaria, but he had once a sichsuch between a private person and a kain svarim. There was a certain yeshiva that put up a sign that after 30 days, any sefer lying around, we have the right to take that sefer for the kinyan svarim. The sefer went and took a person's sefer to the Kenyan Svarim, but it had his name in it. Anyways, the guy shows up 6 months later, and he sees it's nicely bound, you know, in the yeshiva's binding, and he says, hey, now the sefer looks much better than when I had originally. And he said to the Kenyan Svarim, listen, it's my sefer, it has my name in it, give it back to me. So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman paskined that the Kenyan Svarim is not allowed to return it to him. Why? He says, because if it's a private person, it can be mevata. You left it here on a tanai. The Kinyan Svarim was kind of it. You can't just give away the items that belong to the Kinyan Svarim. So you pass it, not only you don't have to give it back to him, you can't give it back to him. That was the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Now, this emes is, I want to discuss the umbrella soon, because when you find an umbrella, I'll ask you a shayla now, but I mean, I'll get, the problem is we're running out of time, and the Shabbos is a very, very big topic. I mean, there's a whole bunch of simonim and shulchan aruch. This emes is, if you think about it, is a very serious issue. Let's say you find an umbrella, and you find that you make a shein of brachas, and you find an umbrella. Do you have to return this umbrella or not? There's no simon. What's that? I'll tell you in a second why I'm talking about a shein of brachas. Well, no, forget about tonight. We're not going to. You find an item. Somebody leaves. The reason I'm saying you make a simcha. It doesn't have to be a shechaim. It can be a sheva brachos. It can be a bar mitzvah. Whatever you want it to be. You make a simcha, and after you make a simcha, you find an item that was left over. Do you have a chiv hashov on this item or not? There's no simon. Huh? Well, forget the armak. But let's say the armak.
Why wouldn't you?
Huh? So why would you not? There's no simon.
Oh, they don't have
that. So you don't, but that's not so simple. It depends if you made. Let me tell you the answer. It depends if you made the sheva brachas in your house or if you made it in the shul. Why does it depend if you made it in the house or if you made it in the shul? There's a halacha that says as follows: that says when you pick up an aveda and it's b'isira osel yodei, when it came into your hand, it came into your hand b'issa. Now you have a chiv of hashava, regardless. You have a chiv of hashava forever. So therefore, if you went and you made the sheva brachas where? In your house, once you made the sheva brachas in your house, you have a chiv of hashava regardless. And until when do you have that chiv, even if there's no simon? And since there is no simon, in all likelihood, you'll never find the person. And you have a chiv of hashava forever, and the aloch is yehimunach ad sheyov eliyo. But if you find you made the simcha in a public place, like in a besmedrash, and after you made the simcha in a public place, you found the item, so then what's going to be the halacha? You can go, and you can keep it, because there's no simon. So if you think about it, it should bring a moedig akasha into your head. Now, the emphasis is, there's much more to speak about this, because it's a big shach, et seir shlodim koineloi, shloim midatoi, and so on and so forth. It's a very lomish sugya. But before we get into the sugya, the emphasis is that it should bring a moedig akasha to all of your minds. If that's the case, that every time a person left something in your property, so it would be siras liyodai, so you mechuyev to return it forever, we should all have piles of yehei munach atshe yov aliyo up till, I don't know, we should have tremendous, everybody should have a room in their house of yehei munach atshe yov aliyo. And more than that, then besides having a chiv of yehei munach atshe yov aliyo, when people die and they leave over Yerushas, they should leave over in the Yerusha, you know, which things they found over the lifetime of Hashem HaZaveh, give it over to their children, so that their children should, you know, carry it around until the Yom Navi comes, and then it should be returned. So where are all these items that you're mechuyev to return of Atshi Yov Eliyo? It's a peldig akasha if you think about it. I want you to know that anyone that was ever by the stipler, you see there were pictures, the stipler always had on his desk a big cup full of pens. He had like a bucket of pens. And the bucket of pens was not because the stipler needed to write that much. He had a whole assortment of pens. But the reason why he had all those pens is because whoever came into the stipler, Soif Yomov, the stipler didn't hear well. And they wrote things down on a paper form. And people left pens all the time. And it was Bisiro Asul Yodoy. He didn't want to keep it, so he left them. If the person ever comes back, he should reclaim his pen. They say over that the Briskerov, when the Briskerov moved to Eretz Yisrael, he came to Eretz Yisrael with a big box of galashes, which were the galashes that people left by his father, Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim saved the galashes people left in his house, and he gave it over to Yerusha to his son to return it. So what's the answer? What is the answer? Where are all these items? Huh?
Very happy.
Why not? What happened to it? It's a Gemara? How could you take it away with a Gemara via Munah? What are you talking about? So let me tell you, how do you deal with the Emunach Bezmanazeh? So Reb Moshe writes a very beautiful chab. Reb Moshe Zecharon Levracha writes as follows. He says what you can do is, listen, he says, he says what you do is, you take out a piece of, you have to keep a certain record. And the record says that you write into a pinkas, he writes, I found this item, in this and this time, you write down the simonim, you write down the value, you write all these things down. Ramosh writes, if it's a considerable amount of time, like 2 years already, where you know for sure that, you know, but pashtus, you're not going to be returning it. Then, after you do that, you go and you record all these, you record that, and you keep the pinkas in a safe place, and you make up the das that if the person actually ever comes back to you, what you're going to do is, you're going to pay him for the item, if he ever comes. You want to take the umbrella and use it, you make a cheshbon, it's worth $4.99, you write that down, right? And if the person ever comes to claim his umbrella, since it's Bisir Asli Yodai, you're going to pay him for the item that you... What? That's a chiddush or a Ramosh, it's not the pashtis of Yehimunach HaShiyov L'Yo. It's Ramosh's chiddush to be Mataris. How come we don't have big peklach of Yehimunach HaShiyov L'Yo? But that's not pashtus pshat. that this concept. Now, the Poskim say that there's one case that this should not be done, and that is if the item that you found is a unique item, like a very specific type of item that you can't usually buy. So then the payment is not really compensating the person for what you took from him. So then the Poskim write, you should not do this Eitzah. Now, the next question is, where do you do Hashavas Aveda from? Now this is important to go through this historically, because in the time, the Gemara says, Adroi Shechicha, and we darshan at Sheyetze Cruz. There used to be a place in Yerushalayim that was called the Evan HaToyin. And by the Evan HaToyin, anyone that found an Aveda or lost an Aveda, everybody came to this Evan HaToyin, and that's where they actually went, and they returned it. The Gemara says, that we know that when the Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, they made a Takana that there's no Evan HaToyin, but you should be announcing in shul, and I tell you the truth, I don't know why they don't announce Avedis in shul anymore. There's a whole discussion in the Poskim that they discuss at which part of davening you should announce Avedis, but that already became the minig that people do not do it in the shul. So Rav Moshe says, how does a person bisman hazeh assure that he properly announces an Aveda? So Rav Moshe says that you should put a sign in a place where it's mepashtis, the person that lost it will be able to find it. So he says, like, if you found something in the shul, you put something up on the shul bulletin board. Rav Moshe writes, if you find something in a building, you should put it up by the elevator of the building. You should put up a sign that you found an Aveda. Now, how long does the sign have to be up? So, there's all kind of different shiurim that I saw. I don't know where they got these numbers from, 3 days, 7 days. But Rav Moshe writes, it should be a certain amount of time that the pashtas, the people who are in that building, had the ability to actually see it. Now, Rav Moshe writes, you're not mechuyev to put an ad in the newspaper, because number one, you're not mechuyev to spend money on a Shavas Aveda. So if you don't have to spend money on a Shavas Aveda, then you definitely don't have to... So it's interesting. There's a shuv in the Chassam Sofer, which the Chassam Sofer discusses. There was a certain there was a certain woman that had a mishoris that left by her nizamim, all right? And after she left by her nizamim, they didn't know what to do, and the Chassam Sofer discusses about putting it into the newspaper. So I would say two pshat of the Chassam Sofer. Number one, probably there was one newspaper in the city, so that's why you know for sure she would see it through the newspaper. And number two, it probably did not cost anything to put something into the newspaper. Probably the advertisers paid for it, or the people that bought it, the different ways that newspapers actually work. But if it cost you money to put something into the newspaper, avada, you're not mechuyev to do so. Now, we're really out of time, so I'm not going to really say much more. The Shavas Aveda is 12 gezunt simanim and shechnorach. It's not something that I can do in one morning. But I'll just mention another halacha, and that is that what is the value that you have to do a Shavas Aveda? So it's brought down that the value is it's at least a pruta. What a pruta is bezman hazeh is a whole discussion. But it has to have a certain amount of chashivas, and it has to also be something which the person himself who gets it back should have a certain chashivas from it. Now the question is, sometimes you have an item, but once Rav Moshe writes, once something is a shava pruta, you should return it, even if the person himself wouldn't actually look for it. I'll mention one more shaila, and that is, once in a while you have an item that you find that to you it's worth nothing, but for the person that lost it, it's worth a shava pruta. For example, if you find a picture of somebody's family picture, to you it's not even worth a cent, or to the world it's not worth a cent. To this person himself, it's a beautiful picture of his family, it has chashivas. Or if you find a person's button, a button is not worth anything, but to the person that lost it from his suit that only had orange buttons, for him it has a tremendous value. So what's the story with this kind of shaila? So the emphasis is in the Nesivas and Shechanorach and Simen Kuf Memches Siv Kut Nalev. The Nesivas Taka says that you don't have to return it. However, Reb Moshe and the Chazanish both say that you have to return it, because it has a value of a shava pruta to that person. I'll just conclude with an interesting thing which I've seen people do, and I haven't really seen it on the Yisoid. People find a quarter, so they say, I can't find who the owner is, I'll put it in the pushka. Now, it's a nice thing to do if you find something which doesn't belong to you. You don't want to be nehenah, so you put it in the pushka. But the pashas is no chiyuv. But from that tshuva that I told you over from the Chasam Sofer Chasam Mishpat Simin Kuf Chav Beis, he says try to do to find the woman to return to her nizamim. And he says if you cannot find her to return the nizamim, he says take it and put the money into something in her schus. So I guess that's where it comes from, that people, if they find something that they don't want to keep, so they end up giving the item for tzedakah.